You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Alcohol want you dead. Don't let them win. One simple call will start you on the road to recovery. Call 800-461-3329 now. It will be the best thing you ever do. Call 800-461-3329. 800-461-3329.
Travelers heading home from the Thanksgiving holiday weekend are facing some rough weather in parts of the country. Heavy rain has led to slick highways and poor visibility in East Texas and Oklahoma, parts of the Deep South, and into the Ohio Valley. Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon issued an emergency declaration for all 77 counties in the state. At least 12 people have died as a result of the storm system that led to flooding and icy roads. A leading House Republican is endorsing Marco Rubio for president.
He's been fighting for a lot of things I believe in. And look, he's not afraid to engage on the hottest subjects. And that's important because the next president's going to have to fix a lot of broken things, including our foreign policy.
California's Daryl Issa said on Fox and Friends that he's backing Rubio because the Florida senator is showing impressive leadership skills. The former chairman of the House Oversight Committee said taking on big challenges will be important. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. The weather this afternoon is going to be partly sunny with a high near 45, east winds around 6 miles per hour. Tonight there's a chance of rain, mainly after 10 p.m. Be mostly cloudy with a low around 35, northeast winds 3 to 6 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 50%. Tuesday, rain likely, cloudy with a high near 50, east winds 6 to 9 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 70%. Tuesday night, rain likely, cloudy with a low around 45, light and variable winds becoming south around 6 miles an hour after midnight. Wednesday is supposed to be showers too, high near 56, light and variable winds becoming 5 to 7 miles an hour in the afternoon, and the chance of precipitation is 80%. Wednesday night, guess what, a chance of showers. Before 11 a.m., 11 p.m., actually, and mostly cloudy with a low around 37. Their new precipitation amounts of between a tenth and a quarter of an inch are possible.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. This is NAMI's hour, compliments at 100 County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office. We have no paid staff. We work out of our homes. And someone once told me that was good because there was a less of a commute to go from the living room to the kitchen, and you wouldn't let a lot of traffic. Well, it all depends how many kids you get. But anyway, we try to help people who have someone in their family who has a mental health issue or someone they know. It doesn't have to be blood. It could be the next-door neighbor, someone they work with. And we do this in various ways. We teach a class called Family to Family, which is 12 weeks. And it tries to teach the caregiver or family what it's the person that they love is going through. It deals with medication, side effects, what to do, what not to do, what to say sometimes, what not to say sometimes. There's also support groups we run. They're monthly. And everything we do is free. There is no charge. There's no charge for materials, no charge for binders, books, anything. We do it all free. And if you need someone or need some information about something we do, you can call 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We are very fortunate today to have two lovely ladies with us. One is choking and gagging over there in the corner, but she found out at 9:30 this morning she was going to be here today, so she's well prepared.
Hi, Larry.
But the two lovely ladies are Chris Maglione from IFSS and Megan Duell. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Who's coordinator of school-based programs?
Yes.
All right. You're going to have to move closer to the mic. Move the chair in closer. There you go. You too, Chris.
Oh.
There you go. That's better. Okay. All right. Chris, we'll start with you. Exactly what is IFSS?
IFSS is the Intensive Family Support Services Program. We are funded by the state of New Jersey. We work out of Hunterdon Behavioral Health. And there is one of us in every county of the state of New Jersey. It's a unique program in the sense that we don't charge either. And as far as I know, there aren't any other programs like this in the country, actually. I think we're pretty unique in that regard.
And is it just in New Jersey?
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay.
We work with families who have family members that have a mental illness. Again, there isn't any charge. The similarities, it seems pretty similar to NAMI, but the difference is that we kind of approach it as a professional, at a professional level, where NAMI, it's people who have experienced mental illness in their family, have been there, have done that, and are still doing that. So we work very, very closely with NAMI as far as referring people. And many of my clients, and probably a lot of people that Larry knows, actually work both programs together.
Right, right. How did IFSS come about? Just somebody's dream? Or
there was a grant, I believe, about 22 years ago that
okay.
was written up.
And that's how it started
state.
Through a grant?
And it started through a grant, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you still have to get a grant every year?
No.
Okay.
No, no.
Now it's
set, yeah.
Now it's set. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's great
mm-hmm.
because it does a good job.
Oh, thank you, Larry.
You know. Megan.
Hi, Larry.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm Ducky. How are you?
I'm good.
What exactly is school-based programs?
So school-based youth services is actually a grant that we receive from both the County of Hunterdon as well as the State of New Jersey Department of Children and Families. And we provide supportive counseling on-site at the schools to youth that identify as having an issue that they would like to work on with a therapist. Our issues range anywhere from having some social issues to some more significant issues such as depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation. We are in about 10 schools in the county right now, our biggest one being Hunterdon Central. Okay. And we also, in addition to the supportive counseling, we do offer what we call kind of like our healthy youth development. And we do some recreation for the students throughout the year, both during school breaks as well as in the summertime. We offer some camps and just healthy activities and healthy alternatives to being in home, playing video games and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's been surveys, and I'm not big on statistics because I think you can make numbers say just about anything you want them to say, but Mental Health Association, I believe it was, and a couple other organizations got together and they did this 2-3 year survey, and they found that mental illness will strike 13-year-olds and on up. And 13-14-year-olds, what are you, 8th grade, 9th grade? But we don't talk about it, you know, and that's why I think your organization getting into the schools is awesome, because now somebody's talking about it. Yeah, I think it should be in every school in the country, but it's not.
Me too.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, because I think it helps people. And, you know, it's just, well, it's like they say that mental illness can strike anywhere from 13 to like 27, 28 is the biggest area, age group. Mm-hmm. It can come at any time, actually. I've known people who had it when they were 50, you know, or later. So it's not just, but majority of it strikes during that period of time.
I think one of the nice things about us being in the schools is that we really also look for that early identification and early intervention for kids who are struggling, and hopefully help them with the healthy coping strategies and linkages to other services that might be beneficial for them.
Exactly. And, you know, the sad part, too, is that the second leading cause of death on college campuses is suicide. Mm-hmm. And when that dude comes to the schools to talk about their college, they don't mention that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all like, oh, come to our school, you know. But if we talked more about it, more of it could be opened up. More people who are feeling distressed or under pressure for mental health issues could come forward.
Right.
One of the biggest myths there is if you suspect someone of wanting to hurt themselves or take their life, don't say anything. Well, that's a myth. And it's a proven fact myth. Mm-hmm. You should say something. Because I'll never forget, a few years back, a young man jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. And he was one of the very, very few who survived. And he said, if anyone would have come up to me and just asked me to talk, I wouldn't have jumped. Mm. He says, but a couple came up to me and asked me to take their picture. I'm standing on the edge of the bridge, ready to jump, and they asked me to take their picture.
Wow.
He says, so I jumped. He was, like I said, lucky he survived. But it's like, it just goes to prove that if you're in that situation, don't step back, say something.
Right.
You know, you don't have to say, oh, you're going to commit suicide. But you can say something like, gee, are you thinking about hurting yourself? Or, mm-hmm. you know, are you feeling down and, you know, in a situation where you're not sure what you want to do, or, you know, something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And just to get them to talk. Yeah.
I think the thing that I have found in our program, and I've been doing this for almost 15 years, is that when families come in, and our program only serves really families who have children that are 18 years and older, or family members that are 18 years and older. But a lot of them, when they start talking about history, would say that they just thought that their kid, their teenager, was going through normal teenage things, mood swings, or, you know, things that are very normal for a teenager, or so they felt, because of the hormones. And then what usually happens is when these kids go to college, that's when they usually have their first psychotic break. So we do see families, or I've seen a lot of families, and I think our emergency room has seen a lot of families, and our inpatient unit have seen a lot of families who have children who just couldn't make it through that first semester of college because there was that underlying mental illness.
Yeah, my son.
Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He came home on his first college break. And attempted suicide.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he that time there was mostly oil-based paint. And I was going to paint over the holidays, and I bought a two-gallon can of turpentine. He came home and drank it.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't know if you ever smelled turpentine. I can't imagine what it tastes like, but it stinks. And the doctors all were amazed that he didn't burn his whole insides out. But he didn't. And
did you see signs of
that? I'm sorry?
When he was in high school, though, were there?
You know, he was hospitalized in Robert Wood Johnson for about 2 weeks. And hindsight's 20/20, you know. But he's the youngest of four, you know, and we saw the other three go through all sorts of stages, so to speak, in their lives. So, yeah, we didn't think too much about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one point that he was hospitalized at Robert Wood Johnson, it was more depression than anything else, you know. And then, you know, moved on from there.
Yeah.
But, you know, thank God he's doing very well right now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, God.
Yeah.
You know, he has a part-time job.
Right.
Chris sees him at BJ's.
I see. You know? He is really, you should be so proud of that kid.
And you know, it's so funny because he was always been very introverted. And this job he has forces him to talk to strangers.
Mm-hmm.
He gives out the jazz they want you to try to buy, you know.
Yeah.
You ever see these people? I don't know if you've ever been to BJ's, but
they
have all these different people that handing out different stuff. Well, that's what he does.
And
so he has to talk to strangers like, hey, why don't try this pen? It really is great. You know, that sort of thing, which he wouldn't do before. But now he has to, you know, and it's carried over to his regular life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because he's much more talkative and.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
He comes up to me. He'll come and sit in my office, and he'll tell me where you're going on vacation. And oh, he tells me everything.
Yeah. I'll have to talk to him about that.
That's how I knew his dad was sick.
Megan, you actually go into the schools, correct?
We do.
Do you just speak to the students, or do you talk to the teachers also?
We really like to take a collaborative approach when working with the students. So while we're there for primarily to support the students, I think it's at times and when appropriate important to have everyone kind of involved in the conversation as long as the student is willing to have that. So we can get input from the teachers or the guidance counselor you know, make a good treatment plan for the student and have everyone support them
right.
Also.
And, you know, it's ironic in this day and age, in the economic situation of the country, a lot of times both parents are working.
Right.
And sometimes they don't get home till 6-7 o'clock at night.
Right.
So a lot of cases, the teacher spends more time with the kids.
Right.
And she or he, whoever, is more apt to spot something than the parents.
Right.
In reality, when you think about it. You know, especially if they knew the kid for a couple of years.
Right. I mean, schools are a lot of times the first line of defense for these students.
Right.
Where they're noticing something different or unusual, out of character for
right.
the student. And a lot of times that's where we get our referrals from, is from the teachers or from the guidance
right.
counselor. Someone said, something's not right with Johnny
yeah.
today.
Something's right.
bothering him.
Yeah.
It might be something from school, could be something from home, but they just notice something different. And,
right.
And
you know, and that's important because, like I said, sometimes the parents aren't going to notice it, you know.
Right.
because they're either ready to go to bed or in there doing their homework or whatever. Right. So, but it's, you know, it's important, and it's, you know, it's great that you do go there.
Right. And I think another thing in these days and ages, we are also a free service. So I think there's a lot of challenges that parents are facing sometimes financially and mm-hmm. with health insurance, and it takes away some of those barriers.
Oh, yeah.
And
right.
Allows a student to, for us to meet them where they are anyway.
Right. Right.
So,
Chris, I know how you get some of your clients.
How?
But how do you normally get, you know, say someone who doesn't come through NAMI and isn't recommended or whatever?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times it is word of mouth through NAMI, believe it or not. But we also get a lot of referrals through our emergency services.
Mm-hmm.
Part of our program that I neglected to mention before that you were, I think, kind of involved in at one point is
yes.
our CARE program. And the CARE stands for Crisis Acute Resource Education. I can't believe I remember that acronym.
I can't believe you remembered it either, because I didn't remember it.
Yeah, most people
don't. And I worked in it, and I didn't remember it. You know, so.
I was almost sorry I was bringing it up, because I'm thinking. Yeah. But anyway, that's also part of our grant. And what the reason that we have that program, and there's probably about maybe 8 or 9 counties in the state that have that. And we want to try to capture the families when they're bringing their family member into the emergency room
mm-hmm.
so that when the crisis counselor is evaluating their family member, one of our care staff who works also in emergency will be acts kind of as a liaison between the family and the crisis worker so that they can spend time with the family, try to educate them on all the possible outcomes for their family member, and to also give them information and resources that they could use once their family member is discharged.
Right.
So we do get referrals that way. So they learn about our program, they learn about NAMI, they learn about, you know, Easter Seals, all these other programs. So we get it through emergency services, we get it through our 2 Central, which is our inpatient unit.
Mm-hmm.
We get them from individual therapists. We get them self-referrals, a NAMI. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's about 5 or 6 different sources.
Yeah, I did work for them.
Yes, you
about,
did.
I'll say about 4 years, roughly.
Yeah.
Approximately. But, you know, it was interesting because a lot of times, you know, the one person would go talk to the individual, and I would go talk to the families.
Right.
You know, and some families, oh, I know it, blah, 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 you know, okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But some had totally no knowledge of what was going on. And, you know, when you could talk to them and you could enlighten them a little bit as to what was available to them, mm-hmm. like IFSS and some of the other services, whether they followed through on it or not is another story,
mm-hmm.
but I know that a lot of them did, you know, a lot of them did. Some didn't, you know,
right.
but a lot did. And, you know, it made you feel good that you were helping somebody, you know,
yeah.
in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that it's not easy for families to understand sometimes what their loved one is going through, or accept it. I didn't accept my son's illness for, about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
My way of accepting it was not accepting it. You know, Priscilla would want to talk about it. That's my wife. she would want to talk about it, and I'd go in the other room and read a book,
mm-hmm.
or I'd get in the car and go down to the truck stop and get coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, I just didn't want to deal with it. Your predecessor,
Pat Shaw,
yeah. She helped me deal with it.
Mm. Yeah.
And in my own sick way, I come up with a way to deal with it,
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get morbid, but what I did was I pictured my son in a casket.
Mm.
And now I have another son, and this son has mental illness. And I can help him in any way I can.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the way I had to do it to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And but she was the one who, I won't say pushed me in that direction, but led me in that direction.
Right. And you're probably starting to open your mind a little bit anyway, because you knew that the other way wasn't working for you.
Well, it was. It wasn't working for my wife, I'll tell you that.
For your marriage.
or the marriage. I mean, you know.
And that's the beauty. We also have a support group that meets the first Wednesday of every month.
For those of you out there, that's this coming Wednesday.
It's this coming Wednesday. We're having a Frank's Italian restaurant in Clinton, next to Walmart, next to ShopRite, actually, if anybody's interested. And the support group is great because this is where families come, and they could pretty much really, really open up about how they feel. And they're very honest. You know, we hear a lot of tears because of some of the things that they're feeling. But there's so much support among the other people because they know, they understand. And many of them will say, we can't talk about this to anybody else. This is the only place I could come to talk about this. So it's a great group. Everything's confidential, should be confidential. And a lot of people have really become friends as a result of this group as well. So
plus they can eat when they're there.
And they eat, yeah. So we call it, another acronym is coming up. So we call it Support Light, and it's LITE, and we call it that because the light meaning listening, interacting, talking, and eating. We keep it outside of the hospital. Because you didn't know that, Larry?
No, I didn't know what that was.
Again, I can't believe I remembered it. We keep it out of the hospital because a lot of times, too, we found that the socialization was very important. And it's almost like more of a normal kind of thing rather than being in the hospital behind, in somebody's office. It gives people a chance to socialize we try to make it a pleasant environment. So it's been very successful. We have really good turnout every month. And if anybody's out there and wants to join us.
It's free.
It's Wednesday, 1 o'clock.
It's free except for the lunch. You buy your own lunch.
We don't have that kind of budget. Remember, I said we were supported by the state of New Jersey.
but it is free. Megan, if you come across a student who has a problem, what's the next step?
We can meet with, because most of the students we're dealing with are minors, we can meet with the student on one occasion, kind of talk to them, assess what's going on. And then what we would do is we would reach out to the parents and involve them in the dialogue, see if the parent was open to their child receiving services from us. And then we would go on from there, getting the proper paperwork and consents, of course, and meet with the student at the school.
If they said no. What happens then? Because you're going to find people that say no. You do, don't you?
Yeah, we absolutely. I mean, I would say it's fewer than, the majority of people are in agreement with it. On the occasion when we do have parents who don't want their child to be involved in it, we do our best to try and encourage them and leave the door open for them, highlight how we might be able to support their child. One of the biggest things is that kind of the acceptance that their child has a problem, the stigma associated with sometimes the student, depending upon what the problem is, if it's depression or anxiety or mental health issues, the stigma that is attached to their child seeing a therapist or someone in the mental health field. Try and do a lot of education for the parents so they understand what we do, and it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with their child. Sometimes still parents don't agree, and we have to let them make that decision for their child.
You have to let go then. It's a shame because then that child, teenager or whatever, doesn't get some help that they could use.
On the other hand, though, too, is we will sometimes parents don't, and even the students may not want to receive the service in school. The majority of them do because it's easy. They're right there. Sometimes they don't want
because they don't want to see their buddies seeing them, their friends seeing them.
We will help parents and students be linked to outside services in the community that may be helpful for them as well. So try and provide as many alternatives and support to them, either in school or out of school.
Right.
Is there, I just have a question for Megan, because I've referred, I've referred families who have those minor kids, and they would say that their child is afraid of being singled out. Is there a discreet way that you do this so that it's not real obvious?
You know, we do our best to respect everyone's privacy and keep everything confidential, although we are in a school setting, so... and people do know that we are the counselor, a school-based counselor. So, you know, we do send passes for the students, but try and keep it as low-key as possible. Right. Please report to Mrs. Dewell and in this room. It doesn't say, please come to the counseling office for your, you know, session today.
Yeah.
you know, we don't label our office as counseling office.
Right.
So, you know, they could be really being called down for anything technically. So we try and keep it as, you know, under the radar as possible. But I think there's just some things that you really can't overcome just being in the school.
We have to take a break, but I got a quick question.
Sure.
As long as I can remember it. The getting into the schools.
Yes.
To allow a school to let you in.
Correct.
Has it been difficult?
I would say for the most part, no. I mean, this is a program that has evolved over the years. So the program has been up and running for over 25 years. And over the years, we've actually grown. We have had schools that have opted out, which, you know, they do that for their own reasons, whether they feel that they can support themselves with whatever issues their student has, or sometimes with the confidentiality. We both follow our own kind of separate rules, so that's been an issue. But otherwise, in all the schools we are in, we are there with, you know, they welcome us with open arms as a resource and support for the students, and just one more way to help the school and their kids.
Because I know we tried, NAMI has tried to talk to the teachers.
Right.
And schools don't want to let us in. And it's just, I was just curious how it affected you, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they start out all, you know, but then when it gets down to it, it's like, no, you know.
Right. So. I think, well, I mean, some of the things that we have found is, and this is, you know, I mean, the school has obviously obligations and things that they need to meet within their own world of the school and to get into classrooms or teachers and stuff like that. Their time is so...
Oh, yeah. I'm not disputing that. Right.
But that, you know, I mean, we've wanted to do groups in some schools, but it's just not possible to pull students for that hour. They need them in there for the curriculum. So, you know, we try and keep a balance and, but...
We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness
discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Ho, ho, ho. It's that time of year to come out and enjoy the Hunterton Holiday Parade, sponsored by my good friends at Hunterton Radiological Associates. This year, all my friends and I will be parading down Main Street in Flemington starting at 5 p.m. on Sunday, December 6th, snow or shine. Ho, ho, ho. Thank you to ShopRite of Flemington, the Flemington Bid, the Borough of Flemington, Liberty Village Premium Outlets, Fusco's Rental World, and Witham Smith and Brown for their hospitality to me and my elves. If you miss it, I may need to recheck my list. I'll see you there. Happy holidays.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterton Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterton County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We're here today with Chris Maglione from IFSS, which is Intensive Family Support Services. And we're with Megan Duell, who is a coordinator of school-based programs. And we've been talking to these two lovely ladies. And where do you meet your clients, Chris? Where they want to, or anywhere, or?
They have a choice. Okay, we can either meet them in our office, we can meet them out in the community, or we can meet them in their home. So it's really up to them. A lot of my clients like to meet in the community, different places.
McDonald's, because I've seen you there.
Yeah, I will not disclose. I'm not disclosing the location because then if somebody sees me, they'll figure.
You didn't have to. I saw you there. I didn't know you were with a client. I just said hi, Chris.
I might not have been either.
That's true.
Yeah, this is true. So actually, it's wherever they feel comfortable. So okay. You know, if they want to come to the office, we're, you know, that's perfectly fine.
All right, you have a client.
Yes.
And you're meeting with them for 3 months. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is a hypothetical case, okay? and you don't see him for 6-7 months.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden you get a phone call. Can they come back?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have
free of charge?
Now. Yeah, yeah. I have clients that I have quite a few that I hadn't seen in maybe a year or two, and they'll call me. And it's interesting because these are families where they had a younger family member.
Mm-hmm.
Now they turned 18 or 19, they became a young adult, and they kind of inherited the DNA of the original family member, which could have been a father or a mother. So now we're dealing with a different generation in a sense. And that does happen quite often.
Now, I know recently you work part-time because you're hardly ever there. So who do you have with you?
Oh, okay. So I have, I'm the coordinator of the program. Yuko Inzana is one of the family specialists.
She's
part-time.
New, right?
Yuko is fairly new.
Yeah, she's new.
And then we have Angela Chufo, who works mostly in the evening. And then I have Carol Christie. Another part of our program is we have respite services. I forgot about that one, too. So we have Carol Christie, and she's our respite coordinator. And what Carol does is her whole role is really to relieve the burden of the caretaker. So what Carol will do is if we have a family member that has their ill family member living at home and they don't really socialize, they don't get around, Carol will actually take them to different places. So she might take them to a movie, she might take them to get something to eat, she might take them to Walmart or other places, you know, in the county, just so that they can get out, and it also again relieves the burden of the caretaker. Again, a free program.
Are these older adults or
it's open to anybody, but it's more the older adults that will mm-hmm. take advantage of it. The younger ones, we've tried, they're not interested.
Well, that's understandable though.
Yeah,
you know, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Megan. No, wait a minute.
Yes, more for Chris.
The other two ladies, Angela and
Yuko,
they do basically the same thing you do.
Yes.
Correct?
Yep.
Okay. Angela, I happen to know very well.
Yeah.
But, you know, known her for a while. But, and, you know, from what I understand, I know somebody or I know a couple people that go to her mm-hmm. and have been for a while, but they also come to NAMI support groups.
Right.
And they sing her praises.
Yeah.
And so, which is pretty cool, actually. You know.
Yeah. Bet Angela didn't know she'd be on the radio this morning.
Or Yuko. And Yuko also is very good. We have a very good staff.
I'll have to draft Angela. Payback time, girl. Yeah. All right, Megan, you had mentioned you do things during the summer.
Yes.
What do you do?
So what we currently are doing is we hold two summer camps. One of them is at 100 and Central, and that is for our older students, so between 6th grade and 12th grade.
Okay.
And that's open to anyone in 6th through 12th grade in any of the schools that we provide services in. And we just provide healthy activities for them to do. We do get them in by providing some video games and some other things, movies and stuff like that. But we do bring ShopRite in, and they come and teach them like how to make nutritious snacks. We bring a yoga instructor in.
Okay.
We bring a juggling instructor in. It's actually like the highlight of the program for some of the students. He comes in for 3 weeks and teaches them juggling, spinning plates.
Mm.
I forget some of the other stuff, but whatever a juggler might teach. He also teaches chess, which is actually, was at first I was a little hesitant, but the kids actually love it.
Ah.
Some of the kids who are very difficult to get focused on other tasks, we see just take a total liking, and we'll sit there for hours for the whole day and play chess. Our other program is at Hampton Public School, and that's
where?
Hampton Public School.
Okay, yeah.
So it's an elementary school, and I believe last year it was open to, I believe, second through eighth graders, and it's the same thing, but that's more of a true camp-like experience. So
we're
outside, water balloons, and relay races and stuff like that. So, and it's a free service for all of these families.
And
so,
it's like from 9 to 3 or something like that. I'm not just using that as an example. Yeah. They don't stay overnight.
It's 3 days a week, but from, I believe, 9 or 10 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon.
Okay.
For both of the programs. So it's just trying to kind of expand within the community, provide alternatives for the kids to engage in some fun things over the summer time with their free time. So, and see friends and socialize.
Is there anything, well, like, say, for the Christmas holidays, they're off for, I don't know, what, 10 days or whatever it is. Is there anything going on in that period of time, or is it a break for you guys also?
No, we also, during the school breaks, provide activities. Just in this break coming up, we're going to go to the mall and the movies. We're going to go to Branchburg Sports Complex and do laser tag and then take the kids out to lunch. And we're also actually going to do one other thing that we do, which I haven't talked about, is we try and incorporate some volunteering into what we do. We have scheduled to go to an adult daycare center this holiday season. And we normally bring a small group of kids who want to go and just spend some time with the adults who are there throughout the day until their loved ones come home at night. So it's just a day program.
Okay. Okay.
So, and we do arts and crafts with them and play some games and just talk with them. So it gives the kids also a the experience of giving back to the community.
Do you run in, do you run into a number of students who, in your opinions, have a mental health issue? Like depression or schizophrenia or whatever?
I would definitely say with mostly at the high school level, but even in the middle school level that we work with, we certainly see kids with depression, anxiety, other mental health issues, ADHD. I think schizophrenia has to be diagnosed as an adult, but we're definitely dealing with these issues. Kids with experiencing suicidal thoughts.
Actually, schizophrenia doesn't have to be diagnosed as an adult.
No? Not anymore? Okay.
It can be diagnosed as a teenager.
Okay.
Or even, I think, younger, right?
Even younger. I'm familiar with that because that's the illness my son has.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. We also see a lot of kids who engage in self-harm. So now, you know, we have kids who are cutting themselves or just engaging in the other behaviors that are harmful to them. So we do see that and work with them. And a lot of times our role will be to provide them support at the school, and we will refer them to a higher level of care. They may need more than what
you can provide. Sure.
Correct.
I know one one day I was working with care, I used to go to 2 Central, which is the lockup ward there.
Right.
And I would talk to the patients. Because I was a parent of someone who spent large amount of time in a hospital, over a couple years, continuously, they listened. And I had like a rapport with, I could make a rapport with them because I wasn't just some suit coming in and talking to them. I was talking from experience. And this one young man I remember distinctly asking me after we were through if he could talk to me outside. And it was, I don't know, June or July, so they had the back door open to the little patio that's enclosed. So I said, well, you want to go out here? He says, yeah. I said, okay. So we go out there, and we're talking. He says, oh, I got to show you something. He pulls up, he had a long-sleeve shirt on. He pulls up his sleeves on both arms up above his elbows. There wasn't a piece of skin that wasn't scarred from cutting. And it was like you couldn't cut anymore. I mean, you'd be cutting over scars because there was no skin. And me being me, I asked him, why are you doing this? He says, well, the pain from the cuts overrides the pain in my head. I don't say I agree with it, mm-hmm. but I could totally understand it. Mm-hmm. And it's just a shame that youngsters, he was probably 20, 21, but that's young to me. Anybody's young to me. But to do something like that is so sad. Mm-hmm. Occasionally I have someone on who is a counselor and therapist mm-hmm. and deals with cutting and overeat, binge eating, and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. And it's just, you don't realize how many people do that, mm-hmm. you know, to get over the pain so they can concentrate on that pain rather than the pain in their head. And, you know, it's just boggle the mind.
Yeah, and when you do hear of stories like that, too, if they start telling you about their childhood, there's usually something that was very traumatic
right.
that happened.
Right,
yeah.
Right. He and I talked for a long time. Then he had to go for lunch and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I gave him my card, and I told him if he ever wanted to call me, he could. And mm-hmm. I think he called one time after that. Mm-hmm. But after that, I haven't heard from him. But,
yeah.
You know, it's just, it's sad, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember not too awful long ago giving a presentation, and there was some doctors there and there's some nurses, practitioners, and what have you. And after, these two doctors come up to me and they said that they had, and they weren't from the same doctor's group, they were separate. And each one of them said they had a child as young as three attempt suicide.
Oh my gosh.
And I said, what? 3 years old? He says, yeah. The one doctor says, yeah, you got to understand, in their mind, they're not committing suicide. Mm. What they're doing is they're trying to stop the pain that they're feeling. He says they're not cognizant of suicide at this point in their lives,
right.
but that's what they were doing.
Wow.
And I'm saying, whoa, really?
That's
God.
Scary.
That's scary. That is totally scary. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just unbelievable, you know.
I think one of the things like we see at the school level all the time, and this is going from the pre-K that we see all the way up through the high schoolers, is the demands are so much greater and greater and greater and greater, and we're not giving these kids any tools to manage all these demands.
Right.
And it becomes this battle between I want to meet all these demands, but they're falling apart.
And if they're... Whose demands are they? The parents or theirs?
Right.
You know, and that's the difference. You know, I understand that you want what's best for your child. Oh, but you got to go on this, you know, you got to play on this mm-hmm. team, and you got to go on the debate team, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do the other mm-hmm. because it looks good on your resume when you send it off to the college and yada, yada, and all this. And the pressure, I know someone. A family who never knew their son was under any pressure. And he had picked a college, or I don't know whether they did or he did or whatever, there was a college that he was chosen and got into. Graduated high school. Month after he graduated, committed suicide. And they found a note that he wrote that said he couldn't handle the pressure. Mm-hmm. He didn't know how to handle it. And he didn't want to go to college, but he didn't want to
mm-hmm.
not go
parents.
And disappoint the parents.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know the parents, and they said they wouldn't have disappointed. We wouldn't have cared if he went or he didn't go. He could have worked in grocery store. It wouldn't have mattered, you know? But evidently in his mind, it mattered, and he couldn't deal with it. You know,
in my job, when we see families, we can also see the family members. So like if a mom comes in about her spouse, her husband, she can bring her kids in as well.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how old they are. I've talked to kids as young as 7 and 8 years old. But a lot of times when they're adolescents, their concern is, am I going to get bipolar. Yeah.
Right.
Is this going to happen to me? And you can't guarantee anything. You tell them, just like you inherited your dad's brown hair and your mom's blue eyes, you also inherited their DNA as well. It doesn't mean that this is going to happen, but there are things that you can do as, you know, you're still in middle school or high school, you know, and we talk about how you need to really be aware of the stress you're putting on yourself and to try to limit that and not, you know, talk to a counselor if you feel like you're, you know, things are getting a little bit out of control, you know, don't feel like you have to achieve at a certain level and if you're not comfortable. So we talk about like that stress management that's very important. And drinking, that's a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know.
That and drugs.
That and drugs. And your dad's an alcoholic because we do deal with, mental illness has to be a primary diagnosis, but many times you also have the substance abuse that goes along with it. And we do talk about, you know, your dad being an alcoholic, your mom being an alcoholic, that increases your chances as well. So,
and, you know, DNA can go from the grandparents. It doesn't have to go from the
parents.
Yeah,
it can skip generations.
It can go back.
Absolutely.
You know, it can skip a couple generations, actually.
Yep.
I mean, if you think about it, 25 years ago or so, you listen to people and they had a Aunt Jenny or Uncle Bill who was up in some cabin somewhere in upstate New York that they didn't want to talk about because they were, you know, they were a little strange.
Yeah.
You know, they probably suffered from some kind of mental health issue, obviously, but that's not how we do it here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If someone wanted to reach either of your organizations, how would they do it? Phone? Email? You could give it both.
Sure. A couple ways for if anyone is interested in school-based services would be to contact me directly. And my number is 908-788-6401. And my direct extension is 3230. And then I could put you in touch with whoever the counselor is at the school. I also can be reached by email, which is Randolph, RANDOLPH.Megan, MEGHAN, at HunterdonHealthcare.org.
You want to give that phone number again?
It's 908-788-6401.
Okay.
And that would be the same number for me as well, 788-6401, extension 3006.
Well, I can't thank you ladies enough for coming here.
Our
it's
pleasure.
Always great to
Thanks
sit here with two
us.
Good-looking women. You know? And it's just, I think what you're both doing is wonderful. And I urge you to keep it up. You know, or at least have them continue when you retire, Chris.
What makes you think I'm retiring?
I'm sorry?
What makes you think I'm retiring?
Well, if you cut back your hours anymore, you won't be there at all. I mean, you know, but anyway, I want to thank you both for coming. And Megan, although I'm sorry for the surprise, you know, at 9:30 this morning,
okay.
You know, but we do appreciate it. Yeah. And folks, you've been listening to Mental Health Matters. And we'll be here again next week. And remember, mental health really does matter. See you next week.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. President Obama says he and India's prime minister agree global warming is an urgent threat.
We agree that Paris must recognize and protect the ability of countries like India to pursue the priorities of development, growth, and poverty eradication.
Obama said while developing nations like India must curb carbon emissions, they also must be allowed to grow their economies. Earlier, Indian's prime minister warned his nation has the right to burn carbon to ensure development. He said growth and climate protection must go hand in hand. President Obama, meanwhile, is encouraging Russian President Vladimir Putin to end his support for Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. The two leaders met briefly at the climate change summit in Paris. The White House said Obama stressed the importance of securing a ceasefire in Syria and a political resolution to the long civil war there. He again urged Putin to join the U.S. and partners in the coordinated campaign against ISIS. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Get your Plenty card at Exxon or Mobil and start earning points at lots of places.
So I get points for filling up at Exxon?
You sure do.
What about getting coffee at Mobil?
Points.
Streaming TV shows on Hulu?
Definitely.
Points on my AT&T wireless bill?
Yep.
Buying soap?
At Rite Aid.
Buying you a birthday present?
Points at Macy's.
Visiting your parents?
No. You get marriage points.
Oh.
Exxon and Mobil are the only fuel brands that are part of Plenty, the rewards program that lets you earn points at one place and use them at another. Join Plenty for free through a participating Exxon or Mobil station today. Terms and limitations apply. See Plenty.com/partners for details.
Kid, this facility is like a ship. So how do I keep us on course without micromanaging every detail? Easy, with Grainger. Grainger's online tools help give me the visibility I need. I can shop, order, and manage all our activity. Oversee purchases, control costs, all while you guys get to order what you need when you need it. I run a tight ship, kid. I run it with Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Learn more at Grainger.com/online purchasing. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At least a dozen people are dead in Kansas and Texas because of a monster storm system that spread flooding and icy roads across the plains. Five people died in separate car crashes caused by treacherous driving conditions, including black ice in Kansas. Three people died as floodwaters swept over roadways in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Another person is missing and presumed dead near Fort Worth. Ice storms turned deadly in the Texas Panhandle, where three people